blessing in their ministry. Give you a very cordial invitation to be with us. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10, and I'm going to ask you to stand as we read from the word of the Lord. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning our reading at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus in the way. May God's blessings rest on the reading and the ministry of his word. You may be seated. Now, first of all, just a little word concerning what many people think is a contradiction. Matthew and Mark say that it was while Jesus was going out of Jericho that this event occurred. Whereas Luke records that it was while he was going into Jericho. And some scoffers have said there then is a contradiction in the Word of God. Not at all. Here is the chronology of events. Jesus Christ had come through Jericho, and though it was getting late in the day, nobody had asked him to go home with them. Now, when he got outside of Jericho, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus up a sycamore tree. And a great crowd had followed Jesus outside of Jericho. Jesus looked up in the sycamore tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to abide at your house." Consequently, Jesus then went back into Jericho to spend the night with Zacchaeus. It was while he was on his way back into Jericho that this particular healing took place. So there is no contradiction whatever once the facts of the case are there. Now, the Lord Jesus, as I say, had come through the town of Jericho, and a great crowd had followed him. And when he was outside the city of Jericho, obviously there was a great milling about, and Zacchaeus had climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see his Lord. And blind Bartimaeus, and it wasn't just Bartimaeus, another writer says there were two of them, he had a companion, and they began to hear all these people talking and the loud noise, and they knew something was happening, so they inquired what was happening. And they were told that Jesus the Nazarene is coming by this way. And so out of this came the plea of Bartimaeus for the Son of God to heal him. Now I want us to look at several things in reference to Bartimaeus and his healing tonight. Number one, he did not know what was going on. The reason was the man was blind. And many people today don't know what's going on in the kingdom of God. The reason is obvious. They are spiritually blind. If you're blind, you can't see some things. And there are people that fail to see what God is doing in his kingdom today. I want to tell you, friends, God needs to open some eyes. People need to recognize what God is doing. There's some people, God can save 50 people, and they'll get up and say, would you pray God would send a revival to the church? They don't get their eyes open. They don't see what God is doing. Bartimaeus is not to be faulted because he could not know what was going on, because he could not see. But one thing that you have to understand was, when a man cannot see, then he's got to do something, and do something Bartimaeus did. He simply asked, what is the meaning of this? And he was told, Jesus the Nazarene has passed by. And that's why all of the excitement is in this crowd. So first of all, Bartimaeus did not know what was going on. In the second place, Bartimaeus did not know where Jesus was. Tragically, there are people today who don't know where Jesus is. I want to tell you, if you want to find God, you won't find him looking up some log. You won't find God surveying the starry heavens. I know the heavens declare the glory of God, and they are, the firmament is his handiwork. And I know that that is what we call a natural revelation. But if you want to find God, you'll find him among his people. If you want to find God, you'll find him where men and women are gathered and are worshiping his mighty name. You remember when David goes out against Goliath, he said, all the world shall know this day there is a God. Where? In Israel. I submit unto you that the fundamental place where New Orleans will know that there is a God is in the local church. It is in the local church that primarily God has decided he will reveal himself. And may God help you and God help me to so live and to let the power and the blessing and the glory of God come down on this church in such measure that New Orleans, Louisiana, if they ever discover there is a God, they will discover that God's alive, because he's alive in you and me. It's when they see God in us that men are brought unto God. Bartimaeus did not know where Jesus was. But in the third place, Bartimaeus surely did know who Jesus was. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, Jesus Christ will accept that. You see, the Bible said that he actually yelled. He and his partner were big yellers. They just yelled. They were determined. They were not going to let this opportunity go by. And the crowd looked at him and said, we're not taking the spoken request in this service. We're only taking the unspoken request. So shut up. He said, I don't care if you're not taking the spoken request. You're going to get one anyhow. I tell you, when people get desperate for God, they won't let preachers, they won't let saints, they won't let anybody keep them from God. So in spite of the fact they had told him, as it were, well, we're only taking the unspoken request. This man needed Jesus. And so he just yelled and yelled, and he knew whom he was calling. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now the Lord Jesus accepted that. And this is the first time that Jesus accepted people calling him the son of David. Up to this time, he would not permit that. In fact, he'd healed two blind men previously, and he charged them straightly that they tell no man about it. He did not want people to know that he was a son of David. The reason was, it would have worked up messianic expectations in their heart. You see, the son of David by the rabbis was a concept that said a mighty Davidic warrior was going to arise. He was going to be of the line of David, and he was going to overthrow the power of the Roman government. And so the Jewish people were looking for the appearance of this son of David. It was one of the main concepts of the Messiah. But Jesus knew he couldn't do that. He knew that he couldn't overthrow Rome. He had not come to set up a world government. He'd come to die for your sins and for mine. So he hushed up all this talk about him being the son of David. But now he permits it because he's on his way to the cross and it no longer matters. Now he's going to die for our sins. And it does not matter what sort of thoughts that people may now have, because God's Son is determined he will go to that cross for you and me at Jerusalem. So Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, thou son of David." But there's another thing. Not only did Bartimaeus know who Jesus was, he knew what he needed. "Have mercy on me," or literally, "mercy me," he said. "Jesus, thou son of David, will you please mercy me?" Now why? Because you don't get healing unless it's preceded by mercy. The word mercy in the New Testament means pity. Jesus had pity on him. One of the other writers says that Jesus had compassion on him. And before any act of God comes our way, there must be pity manifested toward us. That's the first thing God manifested toward you and me. Grace was not the first thing God manifested toward us. Mercy was the first thing. Grace follows only on the heels of mercy. God had to pity us. If God had not pitied us, he would not have granted us his grace. But because God looked at us and pitied us when he saw us in sin and without God and without hope, and when Jesus saw this poor blind man and his companion also blind, he had pity. Bartimaeus was pitiable in the sight of the Son of God. I want to tell you tonight, not one of us would be here in this service if God Almighty had not looked down upon us and had pity. I'm glad God did not judge us according to our sins. I'm glad he did not mark our iniquities, for had he marked our iniquities, who could stand? But I'm glad that he looked out in mercy and saw that we were objects of pity. And because he pitied us, then he sent his grace toward us. So Jesus pitied the man. He said, "Lord, mercy me. Mercy me. I need mercy." And they said, "Shut up. Shut up. Why are you doing this?" And the Bible said he kept on yelling. Hallelujah. Folk, I want to tell you, there come times you'll just have to keep on yelling. I praise God for these yellers down through the history of the church. They have not let the world cause them to become mute. They have not let the world crowd out their yelling. They've been determined to get the voice of God's Son and would not take no for an answer. When Martin Luther saw something was wrong in the church of his day, they tried to shut him up, but he kept on yelling. And because he kept on yelling, God heard his prayer. Listen, and do I talk to someone tonight and it looks as if everything is going against you? It looks as if the world has tumbled down upon you, my friend, keep on yelling. Don't let the world cause you to be drowned out. Don't let the world tell you that God won't hear your prayer. Stay in there. Let the yells keep coming. Hallelujah. Be a cheerleader for Jesus, and the Lord God of heaven will hear your prayer and meet your need and send you on your way rejoicing. He kept on yelling. God, give us yellers in the kingdom of God. Some people say, "Oh, but silence is golden." Well, honey, sometimes it's plain yellow. Just keep on yelling. Don't let the world tone you down. Don't let the saints tone you down. Don't let the preacher tone you down. Just keep on yelling, and God Almighty will hear your prayer. Well, Jesus couldn't keep up his activity with all that yelling. And Bartimaeus just kept on yelling. There's one thing about Jesus Christ. When he saw faith and persistence, he rewarded it. Even if it didn't fit it theologically, he rewarded it. And God still rewards faith and persistence. Don't worry about understanding everything. Just keep on yelling. Praise the Lord. You know how to yell. You say, but Pastor Brown, I don't understand all of the deep mysteries of the Bible. You don't have to. I don't either. But I know how to yell. Praise the Lord. Just keep on yelling. Don't let the world take your yell away. Keep on yelling, saint of God. In this service tonight, out of your soul, keep yelling to God. He wants to hear your prayer. He wants to hear your yell. He wants to hear your shout. He wants you to be exuberant in the things of God. Bartimaeus said, this is my opportunity and nobody's going to rob me of it. There come times in the kingdom of God, we've got to seize a moment. As we used to say, we've got to grab the bull by the horns and by the grace of God, set our mind and our heart toward the purpose we want God to help us in. And if we will do that, all the powers of hell cannot keep God from delivering our soul. God make us big yellers in the kingdom of God. Kept on yelling. And when Jesus heard all that yelling, he called for him. Friend, he's calling for you tonight. Are you sick in body in this service? Are you down and out? I like the way the original reads where it says that Jesus Christ healed those that were bound by infirmities. It says he healed those who had it bad. Have you had it bad today? Have you had it bad last week? Have you had it bad for a month? Have you had it bad for a year? I want to tell you, Jesus heals people who've had it bad. If you've had it bad, he'll make it good tonight. You may have come here with the bad, but you'll leave with the good. He loves to bring the good to those who've had it bad. Many of God's people have had it bad. Many of God's people have gone through trials. It may be the economic crunch in New Orleans has hit you. It may be some tragedy has come in your home. It may be the devil has tried to turn you inside out. You may have had it bad, but I want to tell you of one tonight who helps people who've had it bad. He's a past master at it. It's easy for him. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is hard with him. Hallelujah. The hard is just as easy is with God. Just keep on yelling. If you've had it bad, and the Lord will say, it's time, child, you had it good. Hallelujah. And he helps us to determine, I'm going to believe my blessed Lord. So he called for him. And then what did he do? He made him articulate specifically what he wanted him to do. Now, this shows a beautiful insight into the character of our Lord. See, Bartimaeus was blind. And how could he know what Jesus was going to do if Jesus didn't have him articulate what he wanted him to do? He said, what do you want me to do? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Ah, friend. If you have a need in the service this evening, be specific with your Lord. Articulate your need to the Lord. That in itself will commit you to believing God. God likes for you to be definite. It's not that he doesn't understand the cry of your heart, but there's something especially to benefit you and me when we just tell the Lord specifically what it is we want. So just tell him tonight what it is you want. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that my body might be healed. Lord, that my unemployment problem might be met. Lord, that my pressures in the home might be relieved. Just tell the Lord what it is you want. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Want what? That's a blank check. You fill it in. You write it in, and heaven's bank will back it up. He wants you to know tonight that he has compassion on you and wants to minister to you. So, what is it you want? He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, and I like the way Mark puts it, Mark was a very impatient man, and he doesn't always add the details as some of the other writers. Mark simply said, Jesus looked at him and said, "Be going, your faith has saved you. Be going, your faith has saved you." And that's what the Son of God says to you tonight. Be going, your faith has saved you. What he's letting Bartimaeus know is the infinite possibilities of faith. It's your faith, he said, which has saved you. So now you can get on your way. You can be going. Your faith has brought your deliverance. And tonight, if you will just say to the Lord, "This is what I need. This is what I want." I want to tell you that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will have compassion on you as he did blind Bartimaeus and his companion. And as he healed them, he will heal you. And he will say to you, "Be going. Your faith has saved you." Thank God for faith which saves us. Not that we're saved by faith itself, but it is through faith the grace of Jesus is ministered unto us. And your faith tonight will touch the very heart of God, so that as you hear his voice, you can be on your way knowing that God has met your need. And the Bible said, as he went, he was made whole and received his sight. Now, he could have stood there. He could have continued to sit there and say, "I can't do that, Lord. You just better heal me right now." No, as he was going, in obedience to the command of the Lord, is when he received his sight. And as we go in obedience to him, that's when the victory always comes. So the question is, will we do what the Lord tells us to do? You see, God's Son had many methods in dealing with people for healing. And there was no set pattern which Jesus had. And there were times he would deal one way with a person, another times he would deal another. There were times when faith would come after the miracle. There were times when faith brought the miracle. In this instance, it was faith which brought the miracle. Your faith has saved you. Your faith, Bartimaeus, has saved you from a life of blindness. Your faith has saved you from all the problems which you've incurred. Now, why is Jesus telling him his faith saved him? To remind him, if your faith has done for this for you now, no telling what your faith will do for you in the days ahead. What Jesus is saying to us tonight, if our faith has brought his blessings down upon us up to this point, what will our faith do for us in God in the days ahead if we will let that same faith operate and grow in the Lord? God, help us to be people of faith. God, help us to take the Lord at his word. God, help us to cry out when we have an infirmity. God, help us to not let the devil make us become a mute, but rather, God, help us to just call on the Lord and yell until we get God's attention. God loves for you to get his attention. He's all the time trying to get our attention. If God's all the time, Brother Flanagan, trying to get my attention, then he's certainly not going to be peeved at me if occasionally I try to get his attention. He loves for me to get his attention. And we need to let God know that we have needs. You say, "Well, he knows it." Of course he does. Well, you say, "Well, God gets no good out of it." Of course he doesn't. but we get good out of it. You see, God doesn't require these things for the good he gets out of it. He requires it for the good we get out of it. God gets no good out of us lifting our hands and praising him. In fact, the Bible said, he needeth not the worship of man's hands. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need your hands lifted in praise. He's perfectly content, thank you. He has everything in himself innately to make him happy. He needs nothing operating on him from the outside. Well, if God doesn't need my praise, why does he ask me to do it? If he gets no good out of it, why does he want me to do it? For the good he knows we get out of it. He doesn't need it, but we do. Hallelujah. And for our benefit, he says, praise me, glory to God. And it all goes right back to our benefit. Bartimaeus heard that this man Jesus was coming. He heard that he was creating the commotion. He made up his mind, this is my opportunity. And you know what he did? The Bible said Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus yelling stopped Jesus in his tracks. He was on his way to do a greater thing, namely to die for your sins and mine. But human need made him stop to do a lesser thing, to heal the body of a man who was crying out for need. Jesus could not get beyond that yelling, and he'll not get beyond your yelling. Your yelling will haunt him. Your yelling will bring his blessing down. Your yelling will stop him in his tracks. He's got a lot of things to do in this universe tonight. He's got a lot of places to go. But if you will just yell out of your heart to him, that yelling will stop him. And he'll minister unto you. He'll stand still. You will become the sole object of his tender love, compassion, ministry, and healing when he hears the yelling down in your soul. So if you're here and needy tonight, I want to tell you, folk, Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. The Son of God is coming by our way tonight. And he's coming with deliverance. He's coming with compassion. He's coming with healing. He's coming with hope. And may God help you then to just say, Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of David, give me pity. Pity me, Lord. And when you pity me, then minister to me at the exact point of our need. He'll be blessed when you tell him that. And he will do it. And then, like Bartimaeus, you will follow him and go along behind him wherever he goes, because you yourself have learned that Jesus Christ cannot pass by the cry in need of the human.